You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com.
Can you believe that jerk?
Eep, eep, eep.
You said it. He expected me to cook and then tells me I can't go back to Munchkata? That's just so unfair.
June felt like she was 15 again, and complaining that her parents wouldn't let her out of the house. At least she knew she could tell everything to Dexter without a word of it getting back to Vic. Sometimes she went off on him, but she wanted him to think she was tough. If he didn't think that, she wouldn't be worth keeping on the ship, and there was something about Vic that lingered in the back of her mind that if he found her worthless, he'd leave her on Munchkata, and then she'd truly be alone.
Dex, can you zip me up?
Eep, eep, eep.
Dexter never wore any clothes, except during security duty, when he wore two thick leather belts across his chest that crossed just under the arm that protruded from his chest. Each came down to his hips, where he strapped his blasters. These dragged on the ground due to Dexter's extremely short legs. For being just under 3 feet tall, the little guy was quick. Quick and quiet, a dangerous combination. The quiet part was what June loved best about Dexter. All he ever said was, eep, eep, eep. But it was the way he said it that made you know he understood you. And he couldn't convey that information to anyone else. That was the most special. Dexter zipped up the back of June's outfit by standing on a bench. Her outfit was much like all her other outfits, black with hot pink trim. She liked the color combination, and it didn't seem like anyone else in the galaxy wore those colors together the way she did. Her outfit had been special ordered. It was made up of similar duroplasty that made up the ship's hull. It was impervious to most energy blasts, and could also block smaller projectiles. It wasn't very form-fitting, but she wasn't looking to impress anyone while on duty. Like Dexter, she also strapped on two blasters. Hers were smaller and longer than Dexter's. Hers were designed for accuracy, whereas Dexter's were for short-range shots. All she had to do was get her helmet on, and she'd be ready. She leaned her head back, pulled her hair up into a bun on top of her head, and secured it.
Eep, eep, eep.
What was that, Dexter? Hi, June. Joey, what's he doing down here? God, I hope he didn't see me changing.
Eep, eep, eep.
What? Vic just sent me down here. Something about helping?
June sighed.
What does he think we've got down here that you can help with?
Joey's elated look faded quickly to disappointment. She felt bad. But what was she supposed to do with Joey? Vic should be the one babysitting, not her, especially after he denied her to go back to Munchkata.
I don't know,
Joey said in a defeated voice.
Damn it, Vic. Look, we've only got so much gear. If Vic wants you to help out with security, you're going to have to order some equipment. We can't do that until we get back to home port.
June pulled a vest made of duroplasty off the wall and handed it to Joey.
What is this? It's the best thing we've got. Put it on and we'll find you a gun.
Her tone was cold and flat. Joey made a tisking noise.
Why are you so mad?
She was mad at Vic. It wasn't Joey's fault. She just didn't want to have to watch the new person while she was supposed to be on security duty. Planchar was bound to be a dangerous planet on which to drop off this load. The country they'd sold it to had a lot of enemies, and the last thing they needed to do was to get caught in the middle of a civil war with a load of Tenindrium. Of course she didn't want Joey to know any of this.
Sorry. Just put that vest on.
Joey put the vest on. Dexter reached up to help him buckle the sides. Joey shied away.
Let him help you. He's good at this security stuff, and you're the last person who wants to upset Dexter again.
Joey paled and allowed Dexter to assist with the buckles. June opened a panel on the wall and removed her helmet. It, unlike her outfit, was completely black. It was a dome about twice the size of her head. Inside were advanced electronic sensors that would allow her to scan and monitor everything around the ship without having to move. She'd even made Vic install cameras all around the ship that worked with her helmet so she could monitor everything. It had taken her a long time to get Vic to trust her, but she was paranoid enough after several of their trips. Dexter was good, but she made sure that all bases were covered. Once she was inside her suit, nothing could get to her. She felt like a different person. That's what helped her through the tough times she'd been fighting.
Wow! Why don't I get one of those? Look, you need to earn something like this. You've only been on this ship a couple of days, if that. When you've spent as much time in this dump as I have, you can buy your own.
Eep, eep, eep.
See? Even Dexter agrees with me.
Joey frowned.
Do I at least get a gun?
It took all her will not to laugh.
Have you ever shot a gun?
Yes. She removed her left gun and handed it to him.
There's a target on the other side of the cargo hold, about 90 yards out. Do you see it? I want you to shoot it.
He stood in the doorway and peered to the other end of the cargo hold. Even if he saw it, she was certain he'd never hit it. Blasters didn't have the kick of a regular gun, and her father, being a detective, had taken her shooting many times as a young girl. She knew how to handle a gun. Looking at the way Joey held the gun when she handed it to him let her know there was no way he'd be able to shoot it.
"That little thing? Way over there?"
Joey asked, incredulous, as he turned around, gun in hand, and faced June. She snapped the gun out of his hand.
"When you learn how to respect a weapon, you can have one."
His look of surprise was devastating, but she didn't have time for this. They were going to land soon. She needed to be ready. This little game was over.
"You're going to stay with Dexter. You don't stray from his side. I don't care how much you want to go and look around this, being your first time on a strange planet. This isn't Earth. If you walk away from this ship, you're going to end up dead. Do you understand?"
Joey nodded.
"Good."
June put the gun back on her hip and the helmet on her head. Displays popped up instantly as the smart fibers in the suit connected with the helmet. She saw her stats. Her heart rate was up. The banter with Joey had gotten her worked up. She was going to have to sit for 5 minutes just to calm down enough. Joey was going to have to keep himself company. As she sat down on the one bench in the security room, the outside displays came up. The exterior of the ship looked good, nothing trailing them. Planchar was getting close. Vic should be giving an announcement any time that they were coming in for a landing. She needed all the time to get herself mentally prepared. This trip had drained her, and now she wasn't going to get to relax like she thought she'd be able to. It just wasn't fair. Not fair at all.
"Sheriff Justice! You're needed on the bridge straight away, sir!"
B.T. Justice rolled over and looked at the clock on the edge of his bed and groaned. He'd only been asleep for 6 hours. What were they thinking, waking him? Hadn't he given explicit orders that he wasn't to be disturbed? He cleared his throat.
"This had better be good."
"Sir, the SS Acid Rat!"
Justice took a deep breath and slapped his hand on his face. He wanted to be awake for this.
"Where?"
he asked and shook his head and rubbed his face aggressively.
"They just sent their ship numbers to report a landing on planet Planchar."
"Planchar?"
"Yes, sir."
That made a strange sort of sense. Planchar could be in need of Tenindrium. He would have to check to see if there was a trade embargo against Planchar that would prevent them from getting a shipment through normal lines. It was strange for someone to hire an independent, and a crafty one at that, to ship such a simple load.
"I'm on my way to the bridge. I want to know everything about Planchar when I get there."
"Yes, sir."
It took less than a minute for B.T. Justice to don his uniform, stomp out of his room, and head to the bridge. They had landed on the second moon of Munchkata and were waiting for something like this. He'd suspected they wouldn't report the proper numbers, and he wouldn't be able to catch them here when they returned. This was a stroke of luck he couldn't have wished for.
"Where are they?"
One of the young officers jumped up.
"Sir, they're landing now."
"How soon can we take off?"
"I've already contacted the engineer. He says it'll be 45 minutes.
"What?"
"The engines need to be started up. That takes time."
"I know. I didn't order the engines turned off. We need them to be ready to jump at a moment's notice. Who dared turn them off?"
"Sir, I don't know."
"Just get them started. Now, do we know where they are landing?"
"They're landing in the Kataminar province on the main continent. They'll be on ground any time. We have no idea how long they'll be there before they take off again."
"I want us off the ground as soon as possible and en route. This is unacceptable, and I will be reprimanding whoever is responsible as soon as we get back to Bomda. Junior! Hamburger!"
45 minutes to restart the engines. This was intolerable. Justice ground his teeth in frustration and clenched and unclenched his fists. Who's responsible for this? Who? When the SS Acid Rat was out of hyperspace, Mike decided it was time to do a little reconnaissance work. Joey had gone into the weapons room where Dexter and June were getting ready. Vic must want to keep the boy busy while the ship was landed. Mike was going to have to keep Joey out of the way when the challenge was issued. Vic would be easy to counter when the time came. He wasn't bright and was easy to coerce into awkward situations. Over the past year, Mike had convinced Vic to take on several difficult assignments to just see how far he could manipulate the man. The boss had given the right information each time and hadn't led him astray. Argmon would do anything Vic said. Mike always thought that was strange, given the fact that the ship had belonged to Argmon in the first place. Argmon had lost his brother, so perhaps the Shathar's brother was the brains of the operation, and Argmon was just the muscle. Either way, Mike had discounted Argmon's ability in every way. Mike crept along the ceiling of the cargo bay. It was most comfortable to come down from the top. All the others on the ship were, after all, two-dimensional movers, and never seemed to look up. Continuing the rundown of the ship's crew, Dexter and Jupnop were both difficult to comprehend, but neither had exhibited even a remote thought of their own. They did what they were told, didn't ask questions, and were even more subservient than Argmon. He would just have to make sure Vic gave the right order at the right time, and they would both be out of the way. Then there was Tootsie, the ship's computer. She was polite and liked to follow strict and logical laws, but Vic was able to get her to break those rules from time to time. There was something about her makeup, something that could be used to manipulate to his own ends. He would just have to watch for an opening. And SBX-39, the new robot Vic had bought. That paranoid pile of bolts would be easy enough to scare into submission. Mike had already scared it enough and gotten it to do certain menial tasks. A little more pressure, and he'd soon have it doing anything he wanted, perhaps even speaking to Tootsie. That was an idea, now wasn't it? Mike poked his head down over the top of the room's entrance. June was already meditating. She always did that before they landed. She was more paranoid than SBX-39, but with a purpose. She took steps, and this was the most dangerous thing to Mike's plan. She didn't dislike him, but he wasn't sure she trusted him fully. In fact, on the last job, she had insisted that he stay on board. She had said, "It's for your own protection." But Mike suspected it was that she knew he was anxious to meet with someone. He had been. He was supposed to meet with the boss. If he hadn't snuck off the ship, this all might be over already. Joey looked out of place. Why wouldn't he? He was a billion miles from home and had never been in space before. The whelp needed to be taken out.
"Perhaps I'll be merciful and take you out first."
Dexter was asleep. Only Jupnop and SBX-39 were missing. They were insignificant anyway. They would be of use later. Much later. They would be landing soon. There was nothing to gain by watching the lost boy Joey stand in the middle of the room and look confused. But wait.
"Joey!"
Mike whispered and motioned for the boy to come outside. Juden didn't move. Dexter snored.
"What?"
Joey asked when he was outside. His expression was worried, and he didn't approach quickly enough. Mike wanted to reach in and pull the boy out of the room. He moved away from the door so Joey would have time to come out of the room. The boy did.
Yes?
Mike narrowed his eyes, then opened them wide. He didn't want to look devious.
"Joey, isn't it? I just wanted to apologize for earlier. I didn't know you were going to get scared of me. I hope you're still not frightened."
Joey looked dubious.
"No."
"Great. I've grown so close to the others on this ship. I just wanted to make sure you and I got off on the right foot, so to speak."
"Sure. Okay."
"Talkative idiot, aren't you?" Mike sighed.
"So, Joey, do you have any questions? I know June and Vic have probably answered most of the obvious questions about where you are and where you came from. Of course, I couldn't answer those for you. Do you have any questions about the galaxy or this ship or anything? I just want you to know that I'm here to help out."
"Shut up and stop rambling."
"I'm good."
Monosyllabic moron. Can't even form a sentence.
"Well, good. I just wanted to make sure you and I were on good terms. I'd hate to think that my appearance had somehow frightened you."
At first it did. I guess being out here in space will just take some getting used to. I mean, I've met everyone on this ship, and it seems like this galaxy is filled with a pretty diverse set of life forms."
He can form full sentences.
"That it is. If you run into any problems, you can always count on me, Joey. I just want to make sure that you know that. Anyone on this ship will do anything for you. I'd be honored if you came to me if you needed anything."
Joey's lips formed a nervous smile.
"Thanks."
Mike started to smile his broad, squared-toothed grin, but forced his lips to stay closed. Joey turned and disappeared back into the weapons room.
"Well, that didn't go well at all."
Mike cursed to himself. He wanted to befriend the boy. Hopefully the seed had been planted, that the boy could trust him. At least some of the fear appeared to have been alleviated. That was something. He would have to spend more time with Joey to make sure that seed flourished. Joey could end up being pivotal to the outcome of the boss's plan. Mike scampered across the cargo bay ceiling. They would be landing soon. The anticipation was getting to him. A year's worth of work with this crew, and it was time for a change. How much longer was the boss's plan going to take? Hopefully this challenge would at least be something interesting, some sort of excitement before he finished and moved on to a new assignment. Mike disappeared back into the control room. June looked dangerous in her form-fitting, black-with-pink-trim outfit with the black fishbowl helmet and long-barreled gun slung low on her hips. Her look was something of a young boy's sci-fi fantasy girl. Joey hoped she couldn't see him staring. Suddenly realizing that she probably could made his cheeks flush, and he looked away. The gun she had pushed into his hand hadn't felt right, and he was embarrassed that she snatched it away so quickly. Maybe he was a puny wimp, just like Brad, Chad, and Thad continued to say about him. It wasn't his fault, though. He'd never held a gun. Heck, he never wanted to fire a gun. It wasn't that he was scared of them. His grandfather had shot guns. Did that make him more of a man? But then his grandfather had never been in space. No one in his family ever had. Even if they had, they would never be in a place like this. It was difficult to imagine that they were all gone. Not just his family, but everyone. Even his friend Carlos. He couldn't linger on that, though. He was about to set foot on his first alien planet. How exciting was that? Dexter woke up and jumped off the bench he'd been lying on.
Eep, eep, eep.
Eh?
Joey felt like everyone else understood Dexter. Why couldn't he? Was it something they just got used to over time?
Eep, eep, eep.
Dexter said a little more urgently this time and lunged at Joey. Joey stumbled backwards and fell onto the bench. With his three hands, Dexter strapped a belt across Joey's lap, strapped in the meditating June, and then strapped in himself. The speed at which he did this was impressive.
Eep, eep, eep.
Dexter, if he had a mouth, probably would have been smiling. Maybe it was the tone in how he said things. He did sound satisfied with what he'd done. Just how smart was the little... what had Vic called him? Triped? There was something in those three eyes blinking at different times that denoted a deceiving intelligence. The ship rattled and banged.
God, seeing a friendly face would make me feel a lot less nervous right now.
Vic's voice boomed over the con. I hope you're all strapped in back there. Looks like it'll be a little bumpy going down. This shouldn't take long. I think I can have us on the ground in 5. Just sit tight. We've got a vector for the landing pad.
Well, that wasn't very reassuring. 5 minutes? Didn't it take the space shuttle an hour more to land? Could Vic do it in just a few minutes? They were in a ship designed to take off from a planet and fly through space. Of course it would have to be far more advanced than the space shuttle, wouldn't it?
Joey tried to keep his thoughts on not dying as the ship jostled and shimmied through the atmosphere of Planchar. He waited for the ship's walls to break apart at any moment, but after what felt like hours, and was possibly only seconds, the vibration stopped. I think we're through the worst of it. Stay belted in, just in case. Vic's voice sounded confident. He'd done this many times before, so the fear that the ship would break apart was unfounded. Dexter must have had some sense as to how it would be when he buckled them all in. Was it premonition that made him seem to act so quickly? There were no announcements on their way down, until after a thunderous thud announced their arrival on the ground.
This load is heavy. Sorry about that landing. Let's get up and get out there. We've got a greeting party, so I need everyone on their best behavior.
June unbuckled her belt and stood. When she stood, her voice was electronic and harsh.
Dexter, get outside and do a check outside the ship. Joey, stand guard at the base of the ramp.
She grabbed a rifle from out of the cabinet.
This doesn't work. Don't let anyone know that. I don't expect anything will happen, but at least you'll look important.
She shoved it into his hands and strode out of the room. Dexter was already gone.
Dang, he was quick.
It took Joey several seconds of fiddling with the buckle just to get it unlatched. By the time he got out of the weapons room and into the cargo bay, Vic and Argmon were coming down the main ladder.
Hold up, kid.
Joey stopped and waited as Vic and Argmon caught up. Vic put his armor on Joey's shoulder.
Okay, kid. I want you to try and contain your excitement. I'm sure you're feeling. You know, those butterflies in the pit of your stomach. This feeling will pass. We need to keep a professional image here, so just lay back and don't go far from the ramp, okay?
Got it.
Now Joey felt those butterflies. They were angry and doing loops inside of him.
Great. Just leave the negotiations to me. We'll be out of this in one piece and be on our way. There's going to be a celebration, but I don't think we'll be going to that. I don't want you to get overwhelmed, so if there's a celebration, I may have you stay on ship.
That's not fair.
Kid, do you really think you can handle this?
Of course I can.
Joey was offended.
Well, if you can't handle it, just hang out near the ramp. It's not a big deal if you don't come out any further.
That made sense, but at least he had a choice now. He didn't want to stay back just because he was told.
Thanks.
June, on the con.
Vic put his hand to his ear.
She wants you at the bottom of the ramp, now. Better get going, kid.
Joey ran on ahead. The ship's exit lay just to the side of the weapons room. Mike was poised at the top of the ramp and looking down. Joey slowed, but hadn't intended to. He wanted to get past Mike as quickly as he could. Even though Mike had tried to make it clear that he was a nice guy, he was still a giant spider. And creepy. Mike smiled and patted Joey on the back as he strode down the ramp.
He could hear Mike say,
"That's some crowd, Vic. I think it's a record turnout for you."
"Isn't it always?" Joey's step faltered as he walked down the ramp. He'd been on a stage before, when he was 6 and at the church Christmas play. He'd gotten nervous and wet himself in front of the entire congregation. That was only about 200 people. This was a flood of people, all of them cheering and applauding. Music played with loud crashes and bangs of drums, trumpets, all in a cacophony of noise. The din was deafening. Behind the waves of people were buildings that extended into the sky. Living in Southern California, Joey hadn't seen many skyscrapers. He knew that the buildings in downtown San Diego were comparatively small when you considered those in New York, but he was certain that these he was seeing would dwarf even the tallest on Earth. The sky was a dark, dingy yellow in color and littered with black smoke. Once he was able to breathe again, he'd been holding his breath since he saw the crowd, he realized that the air burned. Involuntarily, he coughed and gagged. His eyes burned. It was pollution, pollution worse than anything he'd ever faced. It was like the entire Earth's pollution was condensed to this one spot and assaulting him violently. Vic put his hand on Joey's back and yelled over the din,
"Quite some reception, eh? Tenindrium is used to clean pollution from the planet's atmosphere. As you can tell, these guys need it. They haven't been able to get any because the guys on Bombda have imposed a trade embargo against Planchar for some reason or another. That's where we came in."
Now it made sense. But suddenly Joey didn't care. He was getting dizzy. He had this feeling once when he was 14 and he and Carlos had smoked a pack of cigarettes in about an hour. His eyes watered. His mind recoiled. Breathing became difficult. And just like that time when he was 14, he passed out. June shook her head as Mike dragged Joey back onto the ship. Vic should have known better. Joey wasn't prepared for this. It took her several planets before she even dared to walk off the ship for the first time, and that was only to set foot on the solid ground before she ran back into the ship. Joey had been scared not only by the planet, but the people. Something with her unconscious psychic abilities told her that. But he was in good hands with Mike. She didn't need to worry about him. She needed to keep an eye on everything around the ship. The cameras mounted on the ship's exterior gave her a view of everything on small view screens inside her helmet. With a word, she could switch views, zoom, pan, and filter. With the throngs of people around the ship, anything could get through. But she was certain that whoever would attack this load would not be close by. There were a large number of tall buildings, all with easy access to the ship. She had half the cameras aimed high and set to focus on any movement. Vic and Argmon made their way to a group of very fat, official-looking men and women. Hands were shaken, and smiles exchanged. The largest of the fat men led the two of them to a small raised platform, and his voice boomed over a hidden PA system.
"Ladies and gentlemen, V&A shipping has arrived!"
Fireworks exploded high overhead. The cameras swung in the direction of each projectile until it exploded and then panned to acquire a new target. June's eyes darted to each, looking to see if anything was going in any direction other than up. It was hard to keep track of all of them, but it was possible there would be no attack.
"Contaminar would like to thank and commend V&A Shipping for delivering a precious and much-needed load of Tenindrium!"
Another round of cheers and fireworks erupted. This time, one of the ship's cameras didn't focus on a rising firework, but on a figure atop a distant building.
"Zoom. Camera C. Times 2.
"What's up, June?"
He was equipped with an earpiece and mic, as were Argmon and Dexter.
"Just checking something out. Nothing to worry yet. Focus."
"I will."
"Not you. The camera."
Whoever had been atop the building had dipped out of sight. The camera would stay trained on that spot now. There was no sense in taking a chance of that person popping back up. Vic was given a medal of some sort. Of course he got a medal. He was the captain of the ship, after all. He was the one who needed all the glory. Once the medal was placed around his neck, Vic turned and waved to the crowd. A man with a camera stood up and pushed a button on his top. Nothing happened. There was no flash or anything. June trained two cameras in to see what was going on. Something grew out of the ground. She trained a third camera. It looked like legs made from rocks, with a billion tiny particles adding more to the protrusions all the time. A statue?
"And in honor of your bravery, this statue shall remain on this spot for all time to let everyone know that it was Vic of V&A Shipping that saved our planet from self-destruction. Let's all look upon it and marvel."
A statue. As if getting a medal and having the entire planet adore him wasn't enough, he was having a statue erected in his honor.
for a load of tanindrium. This was ridiculous. One camera panned away as a crane lowered down to the acid rat.
Mike, open the cargo bay,
Vic ordered. No response came, but the top of the ship opened up. The crane's hook descended into the cargo bay. When it stopped, there was a long pause. Mike had to be hooking up the load. When the crane started to pull up on the load, the ship groaned loudly. The boom of the crane went dangerously forward. The crane clamped down and righted itself, and the load was drawn out of the ship. The canister, about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle, tanindrium being the heaviest known element in the galaxy, didn't need a big canister, appeared, and more cheers and fireworks ensued. The crowd swayed from side to side, and the band started up. Three cameras spun and zoomed to the top of one building. A person was definitely there. Whoever it was had a gun, and a huge gun at that. They were going to shoot something, and the ship was in the way. June cared about getting the load delivered, and that was done, but the ship was her home now, and she cared about that even more.
Trouble! Dexter! To me!
What's up? Vic said.
It's under control.
Eep, eep, eep.
Dexter arrived at her back.
Keep me covered, Dex. There may be someone in the crowd.
June raised both guns. The person was almost done setting up his gun. He'd been waiting for the shipment to be out, and he was either going to shoot and detonate it, or hope to shoot the cable of the crane and crash it back onto the ship. Either way, this guy was trouble. Gasps rose up from the crowd. One camera angle showed people moving away. Dexter had his guns out and scanned everyone and watched for anything out of the ordinary. Crosshairs appeared in June's view, one set for each gun. She was able to get them both focused on the man on the building. He was working frantically to get the gun mounted. Why hadn't they set up beforehand? Something didn't feel right. Something was wrong. Dexter fired. A woman was downed, and the crowd pushed back in panic.
Dexter, what happened?
Eep, eep, eep.
Dexter fired another shot into a man's chest, and he exploded. June saw the gun, but the crowd couldn't have seen it. It wasn't looking good for the home team. She had to concentrate. They had threats here, and on top of the building. She could have removed the threat if she'd seen it earlier. They must have known that. June set the crosshairs on the man's head and fired. His head disappeared in a mist of blood.
All cameras in.
There's a lot of confusion here. What's going on?
Vic demanded over the screaming crowd.
I'm on it, Vic.
June shot two people coming from the other side of the ship. There couldn't be many more. These things always came in small waves. Something overhead groaned. The canister was still over the ship. The crane should have lowered it by now. Why was it still in the air?
Camera G, focus. Crane.
Crane? What's going on with the crane?
From one camera angle, June saw Vic look up above the ship and his mouth gape open. In camera G, she saw the controller of the crane in a struggle with someone. Someone knew their plan had failed and was trying to execute an ad hoc plan. The crosshairs lined up, and the man's head disappeared, just like his partner's had. The crane operator leapt from the crane and ran.
Vic, problem. Can you get to the crane?
What's up?
Just go. We need a crane operator.
I'm on it.
One camera tracked Vic, running to the other side of the ship and to the crane. He jumped inside and moved the canister away from the ship and slowly lowered it to the ground. No more shots were fired. The canister made it safely to the ground. And as luck would have it, Vic's statue had gotten knocked over in the confusion. June smiled. He didn't need another statue on another planet. When Vic exited the crane, she told him,
All clear.
Thanks, June.
Just earning my keep.
Dexter holstered his guns and moved the bodies away from the ship. One might be booby-trapped. Dexter always thought of little details. She would have helped, but she needed to monitor. All buildings were clear now. The crowd had moved back, but was once again pressing forward. The fat guy was making a speech. Great. Vic's going to get more credit, and they'll probably make another statue of him. What luck. June put her weapons away and crossed her arms over her chest. No one messes with the SS Acid Rat, is what her stance said. Something tugged at her mind. Someone of the crew was scared and hiding. It had to be XBX-39, though she had never had a psychic link with him or Tootsie before. Who else would be hiding? Joey was passed out. It couldn't be him. Mike?
Not possible.
She put it out of her mind. She didn't have time for another distraction. She just wanted to get back on the ship and be on their way. Even if she couldn't get back to Munchkata, she still wanted to be off this planet. It just didn't feel right. Not at all. They were in danger. It was something more than just that little attack. Much bigger indeed.
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.